Okay, so let's start again with the sound of the bell. Okay, so let's start. So finally, we have started this retreat, you know, from this morning, and you already have experienced like two sessions of meditation, you know. So that this kind of retreat, you know, consists of many things. Of course, meditation itself, meditation of it's a sitting meditation, walking meditation, and tonight we are going to do a standing meditation. Standing meditation is maybe might be very interesting, you know, because you can feel your subtle energy more directly using a little bit Chinese technique, you know. So, and then in the yoga we do lying meditation a little bit, you know, Shavasana, you know. Then this kind of volume is low. Really? Okay. And then already you ate breakfast. Okay? So it's mindful eating. You know? Maybe, you know, yesterday we talk a lot when we are eating, you know? Then this morning, everyone kept silence, and you ate it. Then what did you find? Maybe food tastes better, right? Because usually we don't taste it because too much thinking and talking, and sometimes you know, looking at a smartphone and like that, you know. So. That's why so many people join. So many people. Okay. That's why it's very important to keep mindfulness. Okay? Okay. So then, in this Dharma talk, I will give you a little more wider perspective, you know, to understand meditation itself. Why should we meditate? Why should we pay attention to our body? Why should we cultivate compassion? Why should we pay attention to our breathing? You know, which we are going to do after this, you know, Anapanasati. You know? So usually, people want to practice meditation and you just go to meditation retreat or a center or like that. Then you learn meditation technique. It's good. Yeah, but for what purpose? Well, in what kind of context are you doing meditation? In what kind of context are you paying attention to your body sensation? Like that. This is more important. Because unless you understand the purpose of meditation, maybe your meditation will not work well. Okay? So, as I said last night, you know, we are not going to meditate with our ordinary mind. You know? Now, we are not going to improve our ordinary mind. Actually, not. Actually, we cannot improve our ordinary mind. Ordinary mind is ordinary mind. That's it. You know? Then, but of course, ordinary mind is causing lots of troubles. You know? As I said, yes, we suffer a lot. There are many kinds of causes of sufferings. You know? But if we really, check the causes of our suffering, maybe they are not the real cause. You know, one of them may be, as I said, financial situation, or a physical situation, or a human relationship, you know, like that. But one after another, this kind of problems are happening. Then we can solve one problem. That's it. Then another problem is coming, you know, like that. It's endless. You know that, you know? You know? Like, British Prime Minister Churchill, he said, well, dumb things after dumb things, you know, something like that, you know? So, Michelle, please tell people. No, it's okay. Please enter before the time. It's okay. It's okay to change. Join. So then, if you really examine the causes of suffering, maybe you can find. You'll be fine. Just one cause. What is? Of course, our crazy mind. That's it, you know. Our crazy mind. You know? Crazy mind means we just can't stop thinking about something. We think this is a problem. But no. We cannot stop thinking of this one. This is a problem. So this can change from A to B, B to C, C to D, like that. You know? But problem A is gone, but the problem B is coming, you know? Problem B is gone, then problem C is coming. But you just cannot stop thinking of this. This is changeless. Right? So, if you can change this, your mental habit, or like that, then you'll be free from your suffering. But of course, yes, still A, B, C, D exists. But they are not problem, you know. You just practically just deal with all these things. They are not problem anymore. You know, financial situation, that's it. You just do it. You know? Human relationship, you just do it. They are not problems. You know? So, that's why our crazy mind is a fundamental cause of our suffering. Do you agree? Maybe because all of you joining this kind of meditation retreat, it means maybe most of you agree with this point, right? Then, point is, yes, I know that. My mind is a problem. You know, this is our, we share this understanding, right? Okay, so then, now we know our mind is a problem. Then, how can deal with this problem? Then, some Vipassana teachers analyze the problem. Yes, look at your mind. You know? Your mind is always like a craving. Well, your mind is always disliking. You know? Craving, disliking. Craving, disliking. You know, so like and dislike. You know? This is the cause of your suffering. Yes and no. Why? You know? Because everyone knows if we want something, then we want more and more and more. You know? We can get this one, then we want this one. And then we want this one, we want this one, we want this one. It's endless. You know? And we hate this one. We hate this one, we hate this one, we hate this one. It's also endless. You know? So, obviously, this like and dislike are the cause of our suffering. But the problem is, then what can we do? Can we get rid of all dislike, like and dislike? Some Vipassana teacher says so. Like this, you know? If something good comes in front of you, you should not have a liking, you know, craving. Something bad is coming, then you should not have a hatred, anger, you know, or dislike, this one, you know. Then you should keep equanimity, you know. Then with the equanimity, we should observe body sensation, we should observe breathing, we should observe everything. And this is a Vipassana. Maybe you are taught like that. But did it work well? No. No. No, it doesn't. Then what did you do? You blamed yourself. Why? Because you cannot stop liking and disliking. Vipassana teacher said you shouldn't, you know? But you cannot stop liking and disliking. And then you think maybe, I started Vipassana meditation just only a few months ago. Maybe not enough. So if I practice Vipassana many years, maybe I can stop liking and disliking. Unfortunately, no. No. Because I know, I spent 4 years in Myanmar, and I stayed in a forest monastery in Myanmar, south of Myanmar, near Moria Mine. You know? So, Pao Forest Monastery, it's one of the best monasteries in Myanmar. And of course, monks are living a very strict life, following, keeping precepts very carefully, strictly, you know. So, and there's almost, of course, no stimulation, you know. But then, could we overcome liking and disliking? No, of course not. Of course not. So, in the middle of the world, like Mumbai or Delhi or like that, maybe it's very difficult because too much stimulation, you know? But even in the middle of forest, the Myanmar, and even in the forest monastery, again, it's also difficult stop liking and disliking. Don't worry. Not only you, maybe you think you are living in the world. So maybe Buddhist monks are different. No, they are same. Don't worry. They are same. You know? They are same human being. So of course they have a little bit, very little like and disliking. But still, they have it. Why? Because it's a human being. Our mind consists of liking and disliking. You know? So, I'm always using a metaphor of this computer. You know, computer, this is a Macintosh, you know? So, it has a Mac OS. And Mac OS. And then, I put a lot of application, right? So iPhone is same iOS, and we put lots of application. You know, application very convenient, but we can delete application very quick, just once, instant. You know, but we cannot delete iOS. We cannot delete Mac OS. You know, so if we delete Mac OS, it stops being computer. You know, even if we can, if we delete application, maybe some application I don't like it, nothing. You know, so liking and disliking, are they a OS, operating system, or application? If they are application, then we can delete. Delete. But unfortunately, liking and disliking are not application. It's operating system. So it means we cannot delete operating system. You know? Then, oh my goodness, we are exactly at the dead end. Now, what do we know? First, liking and disliking are causing lots of troubles in our life. You know that. You agree, right? Then, we know this is a fundamental cause of our suffering. Then we go to Vipassana Center, and then the teacher said exactly, yes, you should not have a like and disliking. You should have equanimity, like that. Then you agree with this teaching, and you tried hard, very hard. But then you'll be disappointed, because you cannot get rid of liking and disliking. Or even you cannot make them less, you know? Maybe we cannot get rid of everything, but maybe we can make a little bit less. If we have a 10 degrees liking and disliking, maybe we can make it like a 9 degrees, 8 degrees, 7 degrees, you know? But we cannot do even this kind of things, right? So, then, what should we do? Maybe, because I'm living in Mumbai or Delhi or like that, you know, so maybe big cities are not so good, you know, that's why if we go to some kind of forest, then no stimulation, then maybe I can do it, you know. But don't worry, you know, even if you go to forest, same, you know. Why? Because liking and disliking are here in your mind, in our heart, you know. So even if we go somewhere else, anywhere, you know, still We cannot escape from here. Oh, then it's a dead end. Dead end, you know. Yeah, because I found Vipassana meditation and I thought, oh, maybe it will help me, it will save me, because by doing Vipassana meditation, I can escape from liking and disliking. You know? Like liking and disliking is actually reacting, you know. Some teacher says no reacting practice. You know, we don't react. Yes, something good comes, something bad comes, no reaction. You know, this is a vipassana. This is equanimity, this is. But is it true? Absolutely no. Why? You know? Like, I should not have a reaction. I shouldn't react. You know, this is the biggest reaction, you know? You know? Liking and disliking is not good. But already we dislike liking and dislike. You know? That's it. So, this is a fundamental contradiction. You know? I think now many people are discovering this kind of fundamental contradiction. You know? Like a Japanese Zen, in Japanese Zen, there are two traditions. One is a Soto Zen school, another is a Rinzai Zen school. Rinzai Zen school, they use koan. Koan is like some kind of question which we cannot answer rationally, you know, rationally. And then Soto school, they are teaching Shikan Taza. Shikan Taza means just sitting. Sitting for the sake of sitting, you know. we are not expecting anything. We just sit like this, you know. Because until now, we are expecting many things. You know, in school, you are studying hard. But still, why do you study? Because you study and expecting some good result, like that. So we are always doing everything, expecting something, you know? This expectation is not good. So that's why we should get rid of expectation. So without expecting anything, we just sit. You know? This is a Shikan Taza, just sitting. Does it sound good? Maybe it sounds good, you know? Sounds good. But I'm in the middle of that kind of tradition, you know? And I again discovered, you know? We should not expect anything, you know? This is already expectation. You know, this is already we are doing something. You know, we should not do anything. This is already we are doing something. You know, so to overcome our suffering, you know, many Buddhist people, they are trying hard. Some people are doing just sitting, expecting anything, not expecting anything. And some people, liking, disliking, not good, you know. We should throw away liking, disliking. We should not react to anything, you know, like that. But point is, there is still some fundamental contradiction. You know. So, if you really notice this contradiction, then finally you can start real practice. You know, what does that mean? You know, with this ordinary mind, we cannot practice. You know, this ordinary mind consists of liking and disliking. And liking and disliking are producing lots of suffering. It's true. That's why we should not have liking and disliking. People think like this, but it just doesn't work. Why? Because already we dislike liking and disliking. That's it. Okay? So then, what should we do? Actually, nothing. Nothing. You know? So, I cannot do anything. I cannot do even vipassana. I cannot do even just sitting practice. You know? Really, we cannot do anything. You know? I think experiencing this kind of dead-end things is the most important thing. You know? Otherwise, you know, your real practice doesn't start. Okay? Now you understand, right? Okay, so as I said, vipassana doesn't work, this shikantaza doesn't work, any meditation practice doesn't work, you know, or I cannot do anything. Then, hopeless. Hopeless. In despair. You know? Like a Jesus on the cross. Completely powerless. But you know that this is a crucial point for Christianity. You know? Powerless Jesus in the absolute desperate situation. You know? Then at that time, miracle happened. Because resurrection was like that, you know? So what does it mean? So, we are completely in a absolute despair. We cannot do anything. We cannot do even vipassana meditation. We cannot do even just sitting with Zen meditation, we cannot do anything. Then what happens? This ordinary mind cannot do anything. If we really understand this, then completely different dimension is opening up. You know, completely different dimension, which we didn't know that, which we didn't know that kind of dimension exists, you know. But don't worry, your ancestors, they knew it, they knew it, you know. So that's why I'm not worrying about you, you know, because you are Indians. And your ancestor, they knew very well about this totally different dimension. You know? So, what was wrong with us, even in meditation? We are trying to meditate in this ordinary dimension. And we didn't know that this new dimension exists. Then we, of course, we are doing our best in our secular world, and after that we come to meditation world, and we did our best, but nothing worked. You know why? Because it's a still same ordinary dimension. That's why. Okay. So, what should we do? First, we should really realize that we can't do anything with our this mind. Only when we realize this, then totally new dimension will open up. Okay? And your ancestors, they knew it. They knew it. And they called this with many names. But I don't want to use any names, because if I use it, then you immediately think, oh, I know it, you know. No, you don't know it. You know only just concept. That's why I don't want to use it. Because if I use it, immediately, I know very well, you know. Something like that. You know. So, point is, you know, like Twitter, they change their name, you know. Now it's X, you know, X, you know. So, we just call it just X, you know. I don't want to use any kind of names, just X. So, the purpose of this retreat, to discover this X dimension. Okay? We are not going to meditate in this ordinary dimension. This X dimension, we are trying to go there. Okay? But then, I will give you a little more historical background about this, you know. Like, Buddhism, of course, started from the Buddha, who was born in this country almost 2,500 years ago. Nobody knows, like, a correct year, you know. But maybe around 2,500 years ago, in Lumbini, in Nepal, you know, like that. Then he found some kind of truth when he was 35, you know. Then he started to teach Dharma to Indian people. And then little by little, many people are coming to him. And then little by little, Sangha was established. You know. Then he passed away. But even after he passed away, this Buddhist Sangha survived. First in India, then they are spreading all over Asia. You know, like now we can see mainly three traditions still survived. One tradition, from India, it went to Sri Lanka, right? And from Sri Lanka to Myanmar and Thailand. It's a Theravada tradition, okay? And second one is went to China, you know, China. And China, Korea, Japan, you know. This East Asia, you know, we share Chinese language. Intellectual Japanese, intellectual Korean, we can read Chinese, you know. So Buddhist monks used to be intellectual. So they could freely read Chinese books. That's why this East Asian Buddhist tradition, we share Chinese sutras. Chinese translation of Buddhist sutras, like that. Okay? And third one is, of course, Tibet. You know, from India, I went to Tibet, and Guru Rinpoche is, of course, one of the biggest figure, you know, who spread the Dharma to Tibet. Okay? So, after that, like a Buddhist, like a flourished in East Asia, in Tibet, and in these Theravada countries, you know. But at the time, of course, no traffic, no flights, you know. So, you know, so that's why we didn't know each other at all. So Japanese Zen master, they didn't know at all about Theravada tradition. They didn't know anything about Tibet like that. So please understand this. Okay? But now, 20th century, 21st century, of course, the world is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. Okay? And now, we are meeting each other. East Asian Buddhist tradition, we are meeting Theravada tradition, we are meeting Tibetan tradition. For the first time in the history. Do you understand how important this is? And how exciting it is? Because I used to belong to Japanese Soto Zen school, and the founder of Japanese Soto Zen school is Master Dogen, who lived in 13th century in Japan. So 13th century people, they didn't know anything about Tibet. They didn't know anything about Theravada tradition. Nothing. You know? He went to China. He could go to China. And he studied. And he practiced. And he got enlightenment in China. And he brought back this truth to Japan. And he taught this truth to Japanese people, and he founded Soto Zen school. But he knew nothing about anything. But me, I'm a disciple of Master Dogen, but now I could go to Myanmar. I could stay in Myanmar. I studied a lot from Myanmar teacher. You know, this is the first thing in the history, Japanese Buddhist history. Then what did I discover? You know, very interesting. Okay, I said there are two dimensions, ordinary dimension and completely new dimension. I just call it X. I don't want to use any name, you know, okay? Ordinary dimension and X dimension, okay? Then already we realized meditation doesn't work in this ordinary dimension. Vipassana doesn't work. Just sitting Zen meditation doesn't work, you know, because there are fundamental contradiction, okay? Then, there are two kinds of dimension. Okay. But then, as I said, there are three kinds of traditions in the history. Then, how did they deal with this two-dimension things? Okay. Maybe you might be interested in it. Then, this East Asian Mahayana tradition, they know this two kind of dimension. They know it intellectually. And there are many kinds of words for describing this X dimension. You know? Like some tradition, it's called Pure Land tradition. You know? They say, yes, you are full of defilement. You know, you are full of defilement. There is no hope, no possibility of enlightenment. You know? But at the same time, you are already saved by Amitabha Buddha, who is living in this X dimension, Pure Land. You know? They are always teaching like this. You are hopeless completely. But at the same time, you are already saved. You know? And then tradition say, you know, you are already like free from any kind of defilement. So if your mind is dirty, you have to clean your mind. But no, you don't have to clean your mind. You don't have to purify your mind. Why? Because your mind is already pure. Like that. So this East Asian Mahayana tradition, they always teach you like this. You are hopeless, but at the same time you are saved and you are already pure like that. Then, what's the problem? Do you understand what's kind of problem here? This is just intellectual understanding. You know? Yeah, Amitabha Buddha exists in Pure Land and you are already saved, you know? Your mind is like from the beginning completely pure and free from dust like that, you know? This is just theory, intellectual understanding. And of course, these things are written in the sutra, it's true, you know? But nobody can really touch it. Nobody can go to Pure Land, you know? And we hear only Pure Land exists. That's it, you know. But can you trust this kind of teaching? Maybe Pure Land exists, or maybe not. We are not sure. Something like that. Our mind is completely free from dust, free from our mind is originally just pure. Nobody can really realize it, you know. So that's why. If Pure Land exists, it's good, but I'm not so sure, you know. Like this. So only some very pure people can believe this kind of idea. But most of ordinary people cannot trust this one, you know. And then little by little, this kind of Buddhism is becoming becoming weak, like that. Okay. Then this Theravada tradition, you know. They don't. In their theory, there is no X dimension. You know? There's only this ordinary dimension. But of course, they are not saying this dimension is good. Yes, this dimension is very bad. You know, people are full of defilement. full of like and disliking. That's why we should practice vipassana. You know, letting go of liking and disliking, and we should observe our body with equanimity. By doing this, we can make our defilement less and less and less, and finally zero. You know, we have no more defilement. You know, then no more reincarnation. You know, then we can be free from samsara. You know, like this. Tibetan tradition, a little bit similar to Mahayana, East Asian Mahayana tradition, but I have not yet practiced in Tibetan tradition, so I cannot say that, you know. Maybe Guru Rinpoche will criticize me, you know, so that's why I cannot say anything, you know. But anyway, so I practice in Mahayana, East Asian Mahayana tradition and Theravada tradition, both. Then, for me, extremely like helpful. Why? Because I suffered a lot in this East Asian Mahayana tradition. Why? Because I was taught, you know, your mind is originally pure. You know, you don't have to clean your mind. You know? But I cannot feel it. I can't feel it. You know? No, my mind is just full of defilement, you know? So that's why theory exists, but nobody can realize it. Nobody can touch it. This is the biggest problem in this East Asian tradition. Then, that's why I came to Myanmar to learn how to clean our mind. You mean washing method, laundry method, you know? Then I learned lots of meditation techniques, which I'm sharing right now with you, you know, samatha and vipassana. You know, I was surprised. Oh my goodness, so many meditation techniques, you know. Why? Because they are doing their best to wash their mind, you know, to make their defilement less and less. They are using lots of meditation techniques. So in Theravada tradition, full of meditation techniques, you know. Then, what did I find? I find, if we do meditation with our ordinary mind, meditation does not work. Because I practice in East Asian tradition, we are strictly taught you should not meditate with your ordinary mind, you know. So, that's why I practice in this kind of tradition for 18 years. So, when I came to Myanmar, actually, I was not using my ordinary mind to practice this meditation technique of Myanmar. Then what happened? It worked. You know, I quickly mastered most of meditation technique which Myanmar teacher offered me, while many other monks, they couldn't. Why? Because they try to meditate with their ordinary mind. That's why. Then, what's happened? Then, little by little, I practiced in Theravada tradition. Then, I found there's some kind of contradiction here. Then, very ironically, this X dimension, I could not touch this one in when I was in Japan. But Myanmar, in their teaching system, there is no X dimension whatsoever in their theory. But ironically, I found X dimension when I was practicing Myanmar meditation technique, like that. But this is a bit complicated story, so tomorrow I will talk about it, you know. But like this, now Buddhism, 2,500 years, you know, Buddhism spread and separately, and now we are meeting each other, and each tradition has its own weak point, you know. Then we meet each other, then finally we can overcome this weak point. East Asian Mahayana tradition's weak point is there's a very good theory, but nobody can touch it, you know, nobody can touch it, you know. And in Theravada, there are so many rich meditation techniques, but there's one theoretically one fundamental contradiction in it, but nobody can overcome it, even in Theravada traditions, you know. But if these two traditions meet, then suddenly we can overcome this weak point. Then what does it mean? Yes, we can go to this X dimension directly. Not anymore theory. Not anymore like some kind of sutra says, talk about it. Not like that. We can go there directly. And we can touch it. Not anymore story. Not anymore theory. Not anymore rumor. You know? In the Pure Land, there is a Amitabha Buddha, and you are already saved. You know, this kind of just rumor, you know. It's just story, you know. But not anymore. Yes, Amitabha exists. You know? Because Amitabha, what is the meaning? Amitabha is, of course, Sanskrit, you know. What is the meaning of Amitabha? It's a like a measureless light. But it's not just a small light. It's a measureless. We cannot measure because too much. Like that. You know. So then it's a symbol. Measureless light, a little bit too much. You know. That's why our ancestor make Amitabha Buddha, you know. Like that. But measureless light, actually, we ourselves can touch this measureless light. So not anymore story, rumor, or not anymore like a sutra says such and such, or a Bible says such and such. Not like that. You know, kingdom of heaven exists, Bible says so, but it's just by process. You know, nobody touched it, you know. But now we can touch the kingdom of heaven, pure land. You know. So that's why now it's very exciting time for Buddhists. And then India is the most important place. Why? Buddhism was born here, and India is very neutral. India is not Theravada country, India is not East Asian country, India is not Tibet, you know. So India is a very neutral. Then all these traditions are meeting each other here, and then we are going back to just one Dharma, I said so here last night. And that then this Buddha Path is a perfect place to do that, because already I talked with Kenzo Rinpoche about this, you know. And he agreed with me, you know. And he invited me to first Deer Park, and then now to Buddhapada. So it's just best place to do that. Okay, let's to continue tomorrow, you know. Okay, so... maybe 10 minutes question and answer session. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Just a clarification, by the rule of the elements meditation. Mm-hmm. If you're practicing it, do we just, do we visualize, or do we feel and sense the elements in the body?
Not visualizing. Visualizing. Just sense, you know. Like earth, water, fire, air. You know? Earth and water is this physical aspect of our body. You know, this is very hard, you know, like a soft and it's a liquid, you know, like that, right? So your body consists of these kind of things. So, then this head bone very hard, it means earth element is bigger than water element. Then this is very soft, then earth element, water element is almost the same. Then the saliva, you know, or tears, already liquid. So then water element is bigger than earth element. Then, of course, some kind of fever. You know, this is a fire element here. You know, then, because earth element, wind element is functioning here. That's why we can keep this position, you know. So, not visualizing, but entering into your body. I just feel it. Yes. Fire element. Yes, wind element. Yes, and earth and water elements are like this. Something like this. Mm-hmm. Then by doing this little by little, you are entering into your body. You know? Then when you enter into your body, your thinking mind, like when you are thinking like this, you cannot observe your thinking mind. Because thinking mind is too much, you know, like that. But by entering into your body, you are a little bit free from your thinking mind. Little bit you are out of your thinking mind. Before that, you are completely in the middle of thinking mind. So that's why, if so, you can't observe your thinking mind. It's too much. But by entering into your body, by observing four elements, maybe you just a little bit, there's some kind of distance between your thinking and your observing point. Okay? Then, from here, you observe thinking mind and body reaction. And this body reaction is actually emotion. And emotion is giving big influence to your thinking. This vicious cycle, you can see it. Why? Because you have a little bit far from this vicious cycle, you know. So to find out this position, we do four elements meditation. Yes. Otherwise, you know, earth, water, fire, air, earth, water, fire, air, just thinking, you know. Then we can never touch earth, water, fire, air. Okay. Anything else? Please. Oh yeah, yes.
When you were talking about the congregation in the parallel teachings, how does that connect us to this dimension that you're talking about? Or how can we truly see teaching coming through?
Okay. Okay, so tomorrow I might talk about it, you know. But in Theravada meditation, like as I said, Theravada from the beginning there's no X dimension, you know. So only here, me, and we are full of defilement, you know, liking and disliking, you know, anger, jealousy, anxiety, hatred, like that, you know. So by observing this kind of mind and observing our body, you know, little by little we are entering into deeper state of our mind and body, you know. And as I said, there's no X dimension. That's why their ultimate purpose is this: make defilement zero. You know, like East Asian Mahayana tradition, they said your mind is already free from defilement, you know, in this X dimension, you know. But Theravada tradition, they don't think like that. Yes, this we have like lots of defilement. That's why we should clean until the defilement becomes zero. This is their fundamental purpose, you know. So then, through meditation, we can enter into this empty space. There's no mind. Mental things is called nama, and physical things is called rupa. You know, nama and rupa stop arising. Now this kind of empty space, you know. So this is their fundamental purpose of meditation. Because now there's no liking and disliking, no defilement. Sounds good, you know. But then fundamental contradiction exists. Why? Like we can observe this empty space. Does it sounds contradictory? Because here there's no not anymore like mental activities, physical activities, you know. But we can observe this empty space. So what does it mean? So if we are just ordinary mind cannot observe things. Because why? Because ordinary mind already extinguishing. You know? So it means X dimension exists. So from X dimension, we can observe empty space. Something like that. Then, like, we can overcome two kinds of contradiction. East Asian Buddhist contradiction is, this is a theory, nobody knows it, but now we know it. You know? And this empty space, but still we can observe it, and this is completely contradictory, but if we say there's X dimension, then no contradiction. Like that. So, only Theravada, only East Asia Mahayana tradition are not enough. If we put both of them into one, then we can solve our problems. Something like that. You know, but this is very, very deep things, you know. Okay, tomorrow I will talk about it. Okay? So, now I'm giving you like a whole perspective, you know. You know, don't worry. Maybe you have never heard of these kind of things, you know. Of course I know that. No Vipassana teacher tell these kind of things, you know. No Zen teacher talks about this, you know. Only me, I'm talking about this, you know. Because I know both, you know, that's why. Okay? Okay, so let's finish today and let's continue tomorrow. Okay? Just pay attention to the sound of the bell.